I think I'm going to start one of the most unsuccessful ministries in history. I'm going to start a deliverance ministry. Now, you may say, but there are deliverance ministries all over the place. Yes, I know. But not like what I'm going to start. Because in the deliverance ministry that I start, I'm not going to focus on your problem. I'm going to teach you who you are in Jesus Christ. Because when you find out who you are in Jesus Christ, you don't have to focus on your hang-ups, your addictions, your hurts, your past, etc., and so forth. Because you're going to realize that in Christ, that stuff has no hold on you. That you're free. Now, the reason I say it'll be an unsuccessful ministry is because too many people want to focus on all of the bad stuff that's happened, all of their hurts, all of their addictions, all of what they can't do. And so once they find out, I don't want to hear it, they're going to get all upset. Then they're going to find somebody who's going to try to cast everything out of them, who's going to try and get them to relive all of the hurt. You don't need to relive the hurt. Listen, this may sound crazy, but once you figure out who you are in Christ, if there's anything in there, you can cast it out. You say, well, I never heard of such a thing. But it's in the Bible. He said, did not Jesus say that if you believe in him, in his name, you'll cast out devils? Didn't he say that? Yes, he said that. I'll help you out. He said that. He didn't say they had to be in other people. Do you understand what I'm saying? You either have authority over a devil or you don't, and it doesn't matter where that devil is. I know I've just stomped on a lot of toes. Nothing personal. But the thing is, when you know who you are in Christ, and you understand that you in Christ, you are the greater one, then you can live in victory. It's not that difficult. But you have to want it. And that's where a lot of Christians fall short. They really don't want delivered. They want sympathy. They want enabling. So if you start a non-enabling deliverance ministry, it might not last very long. Anyway, praise God. I'm not really going to start that. I've been doing it now since 1989. Anyway, over the years, I've heard Christians say things like, we really can't understand the Bible. I've heard things like, well, there are some things in the Bible that it's really not meant for us to understand till we get to heaven. That's kind of weird. There are people that will tell you that, well, you understand it your way and I'll understand it my way. On and on it goes. Let's take a look at that tonight, that whole concept of understanding Scripture. And we're going to start in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. And I want you to be over there with me and read through this with me. Because, you know, you can either understand the Word of God or you can't. Bottom line. Now, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, we're going to read through this. Then we're going to go back and take a harder look at it. Now, Peter is writing, and we're jumping in the middle of it here. But in verse 15, he says, an account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Now let's back up to verse 15. He says, an account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. It's like, well, what in the world does that mean? Well, if you look in verse 9, it helps clarify a little bit. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And there are other passages in Scripture that deal with this issue. Romans 2, 4 is one. And in essence, in verse 15, where he says, an account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, what he's talking about is that God puts up with a lot of stuff from humanity, including the body of Christ. And the reason he does it is because he's giving people a chance to repent and make things right. The reason the lightning bolts aren't falling the way we think they should on some people is because he's giving them a chance to repent. The long suffering of the Lord, it's him extending mercy to people, giving them one more chance, one more chance. The very fact that he's not pouring out judgment on people is him saying, look, I want you to have as many chances as possible to repent. See, this right there tells us that God is not striking people dead as much as what some folks would think and teach. So he says, account in verse 15 that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. What he's really doing right here is letting people know that he, Peter, and the other apostles are in agreement with what the apostle Paul has taught. Said a little differently, he's letting people know there is no disagreement between us. There is no contradiction. Now, that's rather interesting because some people teach that Paul received a different revelation of grace than other apostles. And yet Peter is stating right here, there's no contradiction. There's no conflict. We are in agreement. And so he says, as our beloved Paul, brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, what things? Well, what Peter's been covering so far in his book. Speaking in them of these things, in which, what is the in which? His epistles. The epistles that Paul has written. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, and in those epistles, are some things hard to be understood. What does that phrase mean, hard to be understood? Well, it means what it says. Another way to state this, or to explain it, a way to explain it would be, Paul has written some things that takes more than just a simplistic reading to understand. Paul has written some things that take more than just a casual glance to understand. Or, Paul has written some things that you need to meditate on in order to understand. But notice he writes, in which are some things hard to be understood. It does not mean, or what he did not write is impossible. You see this? It does not say impossible. So what we have then is the Apostle Peter telling us that it is possible to understand everything Paul has written. Now this is very important, because a lot of people will tell you, well, they will imply that you basically can't understand some of these things that Paul has written. But Peter is saying, look, it may be a bit of a challenge. However, it's not impossible. Some of you may find it hard, but it's not impossible. And so he continues and says, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. Now there are three words in this that we need to understand. This word unlearned, and I'm not going to try to pronounce all these Greek words. I just embarrass myself. This word unlearned, it comes from a Greek word that simply means without learning or uninstructed. In other words, these people are trying to teach something they don't understand. They have not been taught. And so he says, which they that are unlearned and unstable. This is talking about people. It comes from a Greek word. It means unsteady or unsettled. The imagery is that they change a lot. And what I'm going to do is give you some examples of how this truly exists. Keep your finger here. Well, no, I'll tell you what. Go ahead. Keep your finger here and turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Now, in Ephesians chapter 4, we're jumping in the middle here of what Paul has written. And he's talking about growing up and maturing in Christ. And in verse 14, it says, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him, meaning into Christ, in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So what we see in verse 14 is that there are men, or people who have put themselves in a position of being a teacher, and through cunning craftiness, or let me say it like this, a persuasive way of delivering their message, they are able to deceive people or carry people away with every wind of doctrine. Every wind, okay, which way is the wind blowing today? Well, it's coming from the north, coming from the east. In other words, all these different teachings. And that is, you can go ahead and turn back over to 2 Peter, and that is what you see today. You'll have people that jump on the bandwagon of everything that comes along. You know, recently we've had the bandwagon of this crazy, greasy grace kind of message that's permeated the body of Christ. Years ago, there was a shepherding movement where the pastor basically controlled people's lives and told them what they could and couldn't do. I mean, this goes on. Just when stuff comes up, these people grab a hold of it and they run with it. And well, it says right here that they're unlearned and they're unstable and they rest. Well, that's W-R-E-S-T, not rest as in relax. So, in his epistles, speaking of them in these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. So they're taking the writings of the Apostle Paul. They're unlearned. And look, everybody's unlearned until you learn. That's pretty simple. These people remain unlearned. And not only do they remain unlearned, but it also says that they are unstable. They're unstable. So they're unlearned, but what complicates it is that they're unstable. And it says they rest. That word rest means to twist, turn, distort, and pervert. So what they're doing is they're taking the writings of the Apostle Paul, they're twisting them, they're distorting them, they're perverting them for their own use. And they're turning them into something that is not truth. And he confirms that when he says, in which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, twist, they distort these things that the Apostle Paul has written, as they do also the other scriptures. So it's not just the Apostle Paul's writings. They're basically taking anything, and they're not taking the time to find out what it really says. They're just presenting whatever they think it ought to say or what they want it to say. And he says they're doing this unto their own destruction. Now, this word destruction, it comes from a Greek word that means the state after death wherein exclusion from salvation is a realized fact, wherein man, instead of becoming what he might have been, is lost and ruined. The second death, which is exclusion from Christ's kingdom. So what he's saying here is, these people who think they know what they're talking about, they're unlearned, which everybody is at some point in time, but it also says they're unstable. Another way to look at the unstable aspect of it is, you know, when Jesus was teaching there in Matthew chapter 7, and at the end of his teaching, he said, those of you that hear what I'm saying, and you receive it, you live by it, you're like the man who has established his life upon a rock. And when the storms come, when the problems arise, you're not going to fall. You'll stand strong. But those of you who don't receive what I'm saying, you're going to be like the man who built his life upon the sand. It looked good at first, but when the problems arose, when the storms came up, your life collapsed. Meaning you heard it, but you didn't receive it and you didn't apply it. Here he says that these people are taking scriptures, they're unlearned, and they're not making themselves teachable. Because they're unstable. And they rest the scriptures. They'll take them out of context. I heard some guy the other day. I will not give his name. He's an extremely well-known minister. But I heard him teaching. And the sermon was going along pretty good. Going along pretty good. Then all of a sudden, he's referencing a verse in scripture. And he says it means such and such. And I'm sitting there saying, no, no, it does not mean that. And he even said we have to leave it in context. And I'm thinking, if you left it in context, you would see that in that verse, there is confirmation that what you're saying isn't right. That it doesn't mean what you're talking about. Well, these people here, they're problems. The thing is, there are folks listening to them because Peter is giving this warning. And he continues in verse 17 and says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before. Before what? You know these things. You have been taught these things. You have been told these things before this. Beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked. Who is the wicked? The unlearned and unstable people in the previous verse. And he says, beware lest ye also, being led away. Led away from what? Led away from Jesus Christ. Led away from the foundation of truth. Ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Well, what does that mean? What it means is you're going to end up in the same destruction as these people who are teaching these things. He says, you better beware. You better take care of yourself. You better guard yourself against this teaching, against what these people are saying, or you're going to end up just like them. Well, if he's telling me to beware, if he's telling me, here's all this stuff over here that these guys are doing. They're unlearned and they're unstable. Okay, unlearned and unstable people do not always come across as weirdos in the pulpit. Now listen to me. There are unlearned and unstable people preaching on television, on the radio. Some of you have probably listened to them. They're unlearned and they're unstable. This is a process. This whole thing of resting with the scriptures, twisting them and so forth under their own destruction. This is a process. It doesn't happen overnight. But you get further and further and further away the more you twist scripture to fit what you want to teach. And he says, look, I'm warning you, verse 17. Beware, or else you're going to be led away with their error, and you will fall from your own steadfastness. You know, years ago, this was my attitude years ago. Well, you know, lead the lost to Jesus Christ and then tell them that they need to go to a good Bible-teaching church. Well, that's one of the stupidest things you could tell anybody. You say, well, how do you figure that? How are they going to know? How are they going to know what is a good Bible-teaching church? How are they going to know? If they walk into it, they see a sign that says church. And so they walk into the building, and they ask somebody, do you guys teach the Bible? What are they going to say? Oh, heavens, no. Do you guys believe in Jesus? Yeah. Do you teach the Bible? Nah, we don't do that. We've got Reader's Digest. Of course they're going to say we teach the Bible. And then that babe in Christ is going to say, oh, whew, boy, found a good church. Well, for all you know, that church is pastored by somebody who's unlearned and unstable. The whole staff may be unlearned and unstable, and yet there they are singing the praises of Jesus. He says, you better beware. Okay, Peter, okay. I want to beware. I don't want to fall from my own steadfastness, and I don't want to end up like these people. You're telling me to beware, which means I have to be aware of what the unlearned and unstable people are saying so that I don't buy into it. How? How do I do this? He answers that question in the very next verse. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Grow in the knowledge. Well, I know who Jesus is. No. Growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ means growing in the fullness of who he is, what he's done, what he's made available for us as believers, the sum total of salvation, everything. Growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ is not simply acknowledging him as Savior. We've already done that. So it's going beyond the knowledge that he is the Son of God, the Redeemer, the Savior. It's going beyond that, and it's coming to the place of understanding the fullness of what he's done. Because when I begin to understand the fullness of what he's done, I am in the process of making myself aware of what the unlearned and unstable people are teaching. I then am protecting myself from being carried away by every wind of doctrine. Now, the only way that I'm going to be able to do this is if I am able to understand Scripture. For example, in this, where he says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Okay, next question. Where do I get that knowledge? Where do I get that knowledge? Where am I going to find a revelation of Jesus Christ and what he's done that I can use to my advantage to help me be aware of the unlearned and unstable people who are twisting Scripture to present something that could ultimately lead to my destruction? Where am I going to get that knowledge? You're holding it in your hands. The Bible is, listen to me, the Bible is the only book that gives you a revelation of Jesus, who he is, what he's done, who you are in him, who he is in you, so on and so forth. The Bible's the only book. That's it. Well, I can go to the Christian bookstore and buy it. Yeah, you can. But if those books did not get their information from the Bible, then that book is an unlearned and unstable book. And you don't need it. Now turn over to Timothy, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. See, this flies in the face of people who are going to tell you you just simply can't understand certain parts of the Bible. Well, if I'm supposed to beware and guard myself against the unlearned and unstable people, I want to become learned and stable. Well, how do I become learned? Well, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How do I become stable? Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow. Mature. Go beyond where you are now to where God wants you to be. And in chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, what is the word of truth? Scripture, the Bible. So we could read it this way. Study the Bible to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That phrase, rightly dividing, literally means rightly comprehending. And I don't know if I still have it in my office, but I had this chart that I picked up. In fact, I think I actually bought it because I was so stunned at what I was looking at. And I wanted to have proof that I wasn't making this up. I bought it at a local bookstore, meaning in town here, that kind of local. And in this brochure, this man was explaining what it means to rightly divide the word of truth. And he had this timeline, this graph. You had to unfold this thing, and it had it broken down into like the age of Noah, and the age of Abraham, the age of like the prophets, the age of the kings, the age of... That was rightly dividing the word of truth. And I thought, And it's times like that where I want to find those kind of people and lock them up so they can't do any more damage. That is not what this means. Rightly dividing, here's a way to put it. We won't turn to this, but go back and read Isaiah 28, where it talks about line upon line, precept upon precept. Rightly dividing, yeah, in the English, it's the word dividing. But this phrase, rightly dividing, means to correctly keep in context. To understand, call it this, the flow of what God is saying in his word. Rightly understanding, rightly comprehending the word of truth. And in chapter 3, verse 16, he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or fully mature, thoroughly furnished or spiritually equipped, if you will, unto all good works, everything that God has called you to do, and the fullness of living as Christ in this world. So therefore, as I study to show myself approved, and I study the Word of God, leaving it in context to comprehend it the way that He intended, I then have the ability to, verse 16, understand, chapter 3, verse 16, all Scripture. Because if all Scripture has been given and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, the only way that can happen is if I understand all Scripture. Now, that right there will mess up some people because, well, Brother Martin, you understand all Scripture? No, not yet. But I understand a whole lot more than what I used to. And I'll tell you what, the more you understand, the more trouble you get in. Because the more you understand, the more you realize how wrong some of this stuff is. The more you understand who are the unlearned and unstable people. Hey, listen, guys, I've got news for you. There are a whole lot of unlearned people who have all kinds of college degrees, graduating from this seminary and that college and so forth. They have all kinds of theological education. But when it comes to being truly learned, when it comes to truly understanding the Word of God, they don't. They do not understand what they're supposed to understand. And so therefore, they don't understand what they need to teach me. I understand more than what I used to. I understand that I don't understand as much as I need to. I understand how to understand what I don't understand. Does this make any sense to anybody but me? It sounds like I'm talking in circles. But what it means is, through this, you know, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the process of learning all this, in the process of this growing, I've come to understand that I don't know as much as I thought I knew. But I've also learned how to find out. Study to show yourself approved. In other words, meditate in Scripture. Meditate in the Word of God. I'm not going to teach on meditation tonight, but meditate in the Word of God. Now, if all Scripture has been given and is profitable for all of these things, then my potential is that I can come to the place of understanding all Scripture. For somebody to say, well, but I just can't. I mean, I just can't go to Bible college, or I just can't go to a Christian university, or I just can't go to seminary. I just can't. Who said you had to? Who said you had to do that in order to understand the Word of God? Well, but Brother Martin, I mean, the way all this stuff. Oh, hold on. Are you giving me reasons and excuses? I mean, what exactly are you telling me? Because you see, I was where you are. Meaning, I didn't know squat myself. I had to learn squat. Do you understand what I mean? When people, you know, somebody could look at me and think, well, yes, but you're up there teaching and, you know, you know all this stuff and all that. And, well, you know, it's obvious you seem to know what you're talking about at times. But me. I just, oh, but Brother Mark. Yeah, well, I was the guy in the seat saying, but me. I just don't understand. So you can't get that one over on me. What, you think I was born quoting Scripture? Yeah. A doctor slaps me, and instead of crying, I start quoting, you know, the book of Philippians. Yeah, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Come on. I had to learn this stuff. And if I can learn it, so can you. I'm not some kind of an Einstein. I mean, I know E equals MC squared, but that's all I know. The bottom line is this. I know enough now to know there's no excuse for not learning. I know enough now to know that the only reason you will stay unlearned, now you may be stable, but you're unlearned. The only reason you will stay unlearned is if you don't do what you can do to learn. Yes, but Brother Martin, you know, my mind just doesn't work the way that it should. My mind just doesn't. Okay, well, since you brought that up, why don't you turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And let's see here. Let's look at verse 12. This is speaking about Christians. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know, comprehend, understand the things that are freely given to us of God. And what he's telling you right there is the moment you get born again, that born again spirit has the ability to know these things. But to take it even further, verse 16 says, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." You see, your born again spirit and the mind of Christ, that phrase mind of Christ is talking about the mental functions of the new nature, which are identical to the mental functions of Jesus Christ. Now let that sink in. And he's telling you right there, the moment that you got born again is the moment that not only did you receive a new spirit, but at the same time, you received a new mind. Now, let me say it like this for the sake of this teaching. You have two minds. There is a mind that comes with the born-again spirit, but then you have the mind of the world and flesh. That's the mind, the world and flesh, that wants to give in to all the temptation. I just can't quit doing this. Ah, mind of the flesh. Mind of the spirit says, well, that doesn't control me because I'm born of God. I don't have to do that. Mind of the flesh. Why are you thinking that way? What's your problem? Don't you understand whom the Son sets free is free indeed? Don't you get it? And the mind of the flesh says, shut up, mind of the spirit, because it feels good when I do this stuff. Besides that, if I listen to you, I won't have anything to complain about and I won't get any sympathy. And I want attention because it's all about me after all. Now that's not literally what people think, but that's really kind of what it comes down to. He says here, you're born again, so you have the capacity to understand these things that have been given to us from God. You have the mind of Christ. You have that mental process that comes with your born-again spirit. It is that mind which has the ability to fully comprehend the things of God, meaning Scripture. But here's what's neat. That information, it's really hard to present this in a way that makes sense maybe to some people. But think of it like this. Mind of the spirit, mind of the flesh are linked. That's why the information that you learn in Scripture, it begins to infiltrate your day-to-day thinking. It begins to dominate the mind of the flesh
that has been governing you in the past. The more that you study to show yourself approved, is the studying the Word of God, is the more that you are growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which then enables you to begin discerning the unlearned and unstable teaching that has wrested or twisted Scripture. In other words, you're going to come to the place of understanding the Bible. And somebody might say, well, yeah, but you know, I just don't. And hold on here. Let me give you a natural example. How many of you remember a country singer named Mel Tillis? Some of you are saying, yeah. Somebody's saying, Okay, Mel Tillis was a really famous country singer. And here's what's amazing with Mel Tillis. He had a terrible stutter. He talked like this. That's how he talked, if you ever heard him. But when he opened his mouth to sing, there was no stuttering. It's like, where's that coming from? Well, okay, well, I'm not going to teach on where that was coming from, but it was coming from somewhere. And it wasn't a demon, come on. Okay, when he wasn't singing, he stuttered. When he was singing, beautiful voice. Big time country hits. Very popular. When we study to show ourselves approved, what we're doing is we're feeding our singing voice. Do you understand? Is this making... Somebody nod. Yeah, thank you, Brother Martin. Thank you, Brother. That's good. You understand what I'm getting at? In other words, the part of us that doesn't stutter is being fed. And we're coming to the place of comprehending the Word of God. We as believers have the ability to understand the Bible. If we didn't, God would not have said we could. God's not going to say, you can do this, if you can't. What kind of cruel joke is that? God, I could never understand this. You're standing before him explaining it. And he just starts laughing. Ha, 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 ha. I know. I just put that stuff in there to fool you. Seriously? That's the God we serve? But unlearned and unstable people will reinforce the notion that you can't understand the Bible. Now, Peter did say some of these things are kind of hard to understand, but he didn't say it was impossible. He didn't say, I don't understand it either. What he was saying is, Paul is teaching the same things that we teach. Let me put it in my way, okay? Paul's teaching the same things that we teach. However, he's explaining it from the perspective of somebody who's more highly educated. That didn't even make sense. I mean, really, it's not. Because if I say it like that and somebody hears it, well, I'm not highly educated, so I can't understand nothing. That's not true. And we've just seen in Scripture it's not true. Listen, in 2 Timothy, we just read all this about how that all Scripture has been given by inspiration of God. We've seen now that we do have a Spirit that enables us, that born-again Spirit, which enables us to know and understand the things of God, and we have the mind of Christ. But along with that, in John chapter 14 and in John chapter 16, Jesus said, let me paraphrase this big time. Jesus said, even though you're going to be born again, and even though you're going to have a Spirit that's capable of understanding these things, and you're going to have my way of thinking, the mind of Christ that enables you to comprehend all of this, the fact of the matter is some of you guys are going to really struggle with understanding these truths. So we're going to be sending you the Holy Spirit. Now, when the Holy Spirit shows up, he is going to teach you all things and guide you into all truth. So you don't have to live your life being dominated by the soulish mind that tries to interpret this according to what makes sense to it on a given day. You're going to be able to receive direct spirit-to-spirit teaching from the ministry of the Holy Spirit to understand the Word of God. Okay, now, considering what we've read here, why then, and this is true, I mean, if it weren't true, it wouldn't be in Scripture. So knowing this to be true, why in the world is it difficult to accept that a mere human being can come to the place of understanding the Bible? Well, yeah, but Brother Martin, I did a lot of drugs when I was younger, and I think it fried my brain. Well, it sure didn't fry the mind of Christ. Don't listen. I know, man, I used to buy into all kinds of excuses. Well, that's right, you did drugs, you're just going to stay dumb and stupid all your life. You know, turn in your driver's license, you're not qualified for anything. Now, that's an exaggeration, but that's the way some people want to come across. If you're born again, you have the mind of Christ, and the mind of Christ can't be drug-fried. Now, I do admit that for some people who've done a lot of drugs, they may have to work harder at this. I agree with you. But again, the possibility and the potential is still there. And besides that, you know, by Jesus' stripes you were healed. See, so many Christians buy into this stuff that, well, you've gone too far. Well, you know, he took drugs or he was an alcoholic, just messed up his brain, and now, you know, I mean, you know, that's the way he's going to be. Well, wait a minute. Do you remember when Jesus healed that Gadarene, cast all those demons out of him, and he was in his right mind? Okay, well, that was casting out devils. Are you going to tell me you don't think that the power of God can heal brain cells? Seriously? And there are a lot of Christians who cut themselves down. Oh, I'm just too stupid. Well, why are you too stupid? Well, I just am. I'm just too stupid. Well, God, you know, what's that one comedian? He says, you know, you can fix ugly, but you can't fix stupid. There is nobody so stupid that God can't remedy the situation. So don't come and tell me that you're too stupid. You're not. Are you born again? Yes. You have the mind of Christ. Feed the mind of Christ. Feed the mind of Christ. And that knowledge, that information, is going to begin to dominate your life in a way that you've never known. And you'll reach a place, you're going to surprise yourself how smart you'll become. Oh, you might not turn into a rocket scientist, but things will change. Because the Word itself has healing power. The Word itself can bring about deliverance. So see, just because you don't understand it now, it doesn't mean that you can't. You can understand it. Nobody gets born again immediately understanding the Word of God. You're a babe in Christ. In fact, in another place, Peter wrote, Paul said, I fed you with milk and not with meat, meaning that we need to go from milk to meat. And Peter said, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. So therefore, the more that I get into the Word of God, it's the more I'm growing, and the more that I am learning, the more I'm understanding Scripture. Yeah, but some of these words, they're just really big, and I can't even pronounce it. What do you think I can? Especially in the Old Testament. You've seen some of these people's names? My goodness, who came up with some of these names? But nevertheless, even if I can't pronounce it, I do the best I can, but I can still understand. The Holy Spirit, yeah, well, I'm not a Greek and Hebrew expert. Don't have to be. You think God was surprised by the fact there would be humans on earth who are not Greek and Hebrew experts? You think he was up in heaven and say, oh boy, now what are we going to do? I mean, we'll give him the King James, but that's not really my word. That's what some people teach, Christians, that the King James is not truly the Word of God, and they don't trust it. Okay, then what are you going to trust? I trust the Holy Spirit. Yeah, right. If you trusted the Holy Spirit, then you'd be listening to Him when He tells you to study to show yourself approved. And what is it you're supposed to study? That book right there in your hands. We have, listen, what it really comes down to is there are a lot of Christians They've developed a mindset, and when they read the Bible, they read it with that preconceived mindset. And listen, if you go into the Bible and you begin to read and your attitude is, well, I can't understand it, so I don't know why I'm reading it. Well, yeah, okay, you just built the roadblock. But if you go into it saying, you know what, I really don't understand everything. However, this is the Word of God. And the Word of God is life and the Word of God is power. And the entrance, God said, the entrance of thy word giveth light and giveth understanding to the simple. It's over there in Psalms. So therefore, Father, since you said that, I'm going to read. And the entrance of your word is going to bring light and give me more and more understanding of your word. Because I don't want to be led astray by the unlearned and unstable who have twisted your word, some of whom are going to miss out for all eternity. Peter has warned us, and Peter is telling us that we have the ability to understand. God has said in his word that we have the ability to understand his word. Now what we have to do is just accept what he has said and just begin to get into the word. The understanding will begin to come, especially if you include the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. Everybody go ahead and stand. You know what frustration is? It's a lack of peace. There's a difference between I don't like this and frustration. Frustration can lead to depression. Every Christian battles frustration.
That's a negative confession if I ever heard one.
Really? You don't? You're telling me you don't battle frustration? Sure you do. The light turns green, the guy just sits there, yakking on his phone. Is that not frustrating? Uh-huh. And you guys are all laughing because that means it's happened to you. Please tell me you weren't the person on the phone. So frustration will always come knocking on the door. We don't have to let it move in. So what do you do when you're facing frustration? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. God, I can't stand this situation. God, you know what I'm feeling on the inside. And God, if I had my way. But I praise you. I praise you. I praise you. I praise you. And even though I'm not feeling anything right at the moment, I praise you. I praise you. Jesus, I praise you. I take a step of faith and I say, I cast the care of this thing over onto you. I worship you. I worship you. I praise you. I love you, Jesus. Now, if you mean it, it works. It works. And you stop the frustration in its tracks. Does that mean that you'll like the situation? No. But it won't become a thorn in your flesh. So whoever needed that tonight, there you go. You are not a failure. You've simply made wrong decisions. But until you get past seeing yourself as a failure, you're limiting what I can do in you. So don't see yourself as a failure. See yourself as someone that I am picking up and carrying to victory.